Did you get a pen?
I got one.
Okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. Open your Bibles tonight to Hebrews. That's all the women love Hebrews because it says in there that's men are supposed to cook the coffee, right? Hebrews, right?
Those good and strong.
Those good and strong. Are you obeying that? Okay. Hebrews coffee and pastor is corny. You get your vegetables and your hot drink. Hallelujah. Amen. We continue our study on hope with help. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations work in patience. Patience gives us experience. Experience gives us hope, and hope makes us not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Amen. I'm thankful tonight for God's love. Amen. Amen. How many feel God's love in your life? You know, and even in the hard times, and we still witness His love. So tonight in Hebrews chapter 3, I'm going to read, beginning to read with verse number 1 to lead into where we're going tonight. The Bible says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all of his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath built the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after." And this is where we're going to focus tonight. "But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm until the end." Amen. The writer of Hebrews puts an "if" in there. He just didn't make the statement. He says, if we continue. If we continue with faith, if we continue with confidence. So when I was looking at this, the first thing I was looking at is, he says here in verse number 6, "But Christ has a son over his own house, whose house are we?" And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about coming together in the property, and I came with the premises. The premises. If you look at a piece of property in the premises, it covers all the buildings on the property. Okay, all the buildings on the property make up the premises. And Christ wants you and I to understand that he has purchased us. He owns this house. He owns this house and he owns this house. But he owns this house, but he gave me lifetime rights to it. Amen. I have a life estate in this house that belongs to God. And I don't know if you're familiar with the life estate. With a life estate, you're responsible to take care of the property, amen, until death. And then it goes back to the owner, which is Christ, which we go back. So when the first thing I was looking at this and they were speaking about is this house that we house the Holy Spirit, that where the temple of God, and these are familiar scriptures, but it forces the point that God wants us to understand that this house, this body, belongs to Him. Amen. He gave us lifetime rights to it, but He purchased it on the cross of Calvary. And He paid for it in full. He doesn't have a loan on it where the lien can be foreclosed on. Amen. The only thing that happens with a life estate is we're responsible not to default on our part. So, first, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're looking at the temple or the house. Y'all with me? We on the same page? Verse number 16. The word of God says this: "Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Question mark. Now, Lord, he's posing this question to us to think about, to meditate upon that, till we recognize, then we understand that we belong to someone else. Okay? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. That's pretty strong words, isn't it? In other words, God is saying there's a responsibility that comes on our part to take care of the house that he lives in. For the temple of God is holy, which temple are ye? So when I look at this, I say, okay, now my body's temple, and I got to keep my upkeep on the house. I got to take care of the house. If the water is leaking, I don't let it continue to leak. I got to fix the leaks. I got to fix the things to keep it operating and flowing. You know, it's kind of one of the things that the Lord is speaking to my heart about in the body of Christ. Many of us are waiting for God to do something, and God's waiting for us to do something. Amen. Every time that I ask the Lord for something, he gives me something that I need to do. There's a step I need to move, or something I need to do to receive what he wants to give. So normally in this house, in this agreement, like for example, if you had a life estate and a piece of property, you would have agreement and there would be terms, the terms of the agreement. Amen? Are you with me here? I'm kind of doing this in the real estate because this Holy Spirit, the inspired Word of God, relates it to a house, and we can relate to it a house in real estate. So we're looking in the natural that has a spiritual connotation, okay? So as we're looking at this, so he says, let's look at the terms in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. The Apostle Paul first says, what? Question mark. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? Okay? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They belong to God. Amen? I don't know about you, but I get challenged when I read that. There's challenges. The challenges are, this body belongs to him. Am I doing the things? Am I disciplining myself to do the things that are good for this body? Or am I, when I know it's wrong, go ahead and do it anyway and pray that the Lord doesn't help me through it? All right, well, you don't miss anything, does he? Amen? So if you're looking at this, we're glorifying God in our body. Amen? So he challenges us here. Do you think there's anything wrong with being challenged by the Father? Which father in here does not challenge their children? Or mother? All right? And there's an expectation. Amen? I don't know about you, but when my children were growing up, I expected them to do what I said to do. And if they didn't do what I told them to do, there was a repercussion. There was something that happened. There was a penalty for disobedience. Amen? And so we're looking at with the Lord. God wants us to have the blessing. God wants us to have the favor. But there's terms that come with it, amen? And we can't ignore the terms. We can't ignore the agreement, okay, that we have with him. So he sets up the trail for us. I put the trail. I couldn't think of a word, so I just had the trail. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, you know, my TTTs and SSSs, and pray for me. I hope that you do pray for me. I covered all the prayers I can get. I pray for you. So he's challenging us here. Here's a trail. Here's the steps of a righteous man have been ordered by the Lord. And he finds delight in his way. So he gives us some steps. So he's posing another question to us about our body, about our house, about our temple, and verse 16. He says, in what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Then he says this, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen. You know, he says, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing. You know, we can't continue to do the same thing and expect a different outcome. Amen. So in other words, we're to be separate, he says, to separate ourselves. Amen. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I got to let some old things in my life die. You know, here's what we tried to do as children of God. We tried to add Christ to the old ways. All right? We use them as an additive. All right? Like putting sugar in your coffee and sweeten it up, okay? And you know, and what he says is, no. He says, well, you have to realize your old self, you have to allow the old man to die so the new man can be resurrected. Amen? So he says for us not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So I got to change the way I think. I got to change my thought patterns. I got to change everything. I'm walking and I'm following him. Amen? Let me say something to everyone in the room. Everyone in the room, your bodies are the temple of God, and every last one of you are beautiful. Everyone is beautiful. Everyone has beauty. And all everyone's beauty is in different ways and different forms and different shapes. It doesn't matter. God says he has plans. He's purpose for your life. And that you're beautiful. Look at the one next to you and say, you sure are beautiful. You're beautiful. He said, man, I'd rather be called handsome. You are. He's handsome. He's not beautiful. Well, hand me some money then. Handsome? Oh. Well, yeah, corny. Hallelujah. So you understand what the Lord is saying. He wants us to understand these premises, this property belongs to the Lord. Now, you could even use that word premises, and it can move also into thoughts and thought life, okay? The premises of thought, okay? That same word, you can look at that. Then sometimes we got to change our funky thinking, you know? And if we have kingdom thinking and thinking of fruits of the spirits, all of a sudden we're not looking at things the way we used to look at it. See, here's what the devil wants you to believe. This is the deception, that it's too hard to serve the Lord. To be in the world is easier, and it's such a lie because it's not easy. He just covers it up, and you don't really see the state in which you're in, so it seems like it's good, but it really isn't. Amen. He is a liar and the father of all lies. Amen. So as we're looking at this, first God wants us to understand as a house, and I'm not saying anybody's a house. You got a personality. You're a house with a personality. Okay. You got a personality. We all got a personality, right? So we're not just a structure. We're a structure with a personality. Amen? So he says there, so we have, Then he says, if you hold fast the confidence. Said, you know, and there we have the perseverance to hang on. The first is to hold on. And, you know, I was talking to a mighty man of God this afternoon at lunchtime. We were talking about the Job and the patience of Job. And even though Job was blessed at the end with double portion, he lost a lot and went through a lot. And to think that he didn't go through something is deception. And to think that we will not go through things in this life is a deception, and it's a lie. Amen. God says that just like with him, God says that you're going to go through some things in this life, but you're not going to go through them alone. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll always be there. He sticks closer than a brother. But in Job chapter 17, verse 9, it says, the righteous shall hold on his way, and he that have clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Amen. It's kind of interesting when you do what the Lord asks you to do, what he convicts you to do, when you submit to it, you receive strength that you didn't have before. Amen. And he says, hey, and that's when we get stronger and stronger, because we're allowing the Spirit of God to purify, to cleanse us, to clean the old rags and filthy rags, and we become the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So as we're doing that, he is saying, we get stronger and stronger. And the adversary doesn't want you strong. He wants to use you as a pawn and push you around and try to mess with your head. Amen. But he says not only to hold on, but to hold up. And in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9, familiar scripture, he says to us, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for a due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So, you know, he is saying to us that we're to persevere. We're persevering when we're helping our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. How many know that God called us as a body, and the body has many parts, and every part is important? How many, you know, one of the things, I don't want to get into Sunday's message, but I guess we're going to go there a minute. You know, we need one another a lot. We need everyone. Amen? Everyone's part is important. Amen? So you need the one next to you. Amen. And they need you. And I'm not just saying in the physical manner, I'm saying in the spiritual manner, but also in the physical. How many times in your life go through discouragement? How many like it when are blessed when somebody gives you an encouraging word? Amen. All of us love to be encouraged, do we not? Amen. You know what encourages me? Seeing you here tonight. Each and every one of you are valuable to me, and it really encourages me to see you. It blesses my heart. It strengthens my faith. It's kind of weird to say, but your presence makes me stronger. Because I'm using your faith, not just mine. And you have faith, 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 and you have. We all have a measure of faith. And when this faith comes in the room, all of a sudden, we're using one another's faith. It's not all about our faith. That's why we need everybody's faith. Amen? I don't know. I only have a measure of faith. And you only have a measure of faith. But when those measures come together, hallelujah. Hey, from pastor to you, thank you for being here tonight. And thank you in advance for being here Sunday, if you can make it. Amen. Because when you're here, you encourage me. Now, when you're not here, if you don't encourage me when you're here, what happens when you're not? And if everybody knows the pastor, first thing I do every Sunday morning is I'm looking for the flock. And it takes me a while when they're not there to release it, to move on. I'm just being real. I'm being real. I'm real. I'm not one of those guys that's going to fake it till I make it. I'm the real deal. You're the real deal. And God wants us to be real with one another. Amen. I'm standing before you tonight saying I really need you. And that you're valuable and that you're important. And every last one of you is special. Amen. And each one of you have equal value. And what he is saying is, no one's more important than another. Amen. That every part is important and each and every one of them valued. Boy, I don't know if I could go with that. That would probably preach, wouldn't it? Hallelujah. I wasn't preaching. Kind of, but I wasn't. I was sharing my heart. I was sharing my heart because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. So we're going to also hold to. Hold to. And Hebrews chapter 12. The writer of Hebrews says in verse number 1. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Amen. You know, we said that the glory, we glory in tribulations because our tribulations and our trials brings patience. Patience brings us our experience, and experience gives us hope. And hope makes us not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. And one of the things the Lord was speaking about here is the patience. The patience. And patience is really built when I grow patient when people are really ugly. Yeah? And I'm not talking about people in the church. I'm talking about people in the world. And Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 22. He said, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Amen. In other words, as you're walking with the Lord, the world doesn't like it. And if you continue to walk with the Lord, they might not like you. But Jesus says to you and I, bless them that persecute you and despitefully use you for my name's sake, for great is your reward. I'm not entering into the hate game. I'm a minister of love. Amen. And we're praying in this world that we live in, no matter what people think, that love will outweigh the hate. Amen. So this is also in hardships. In hardships. In James chapter 1, James, brother Jesus, is speaking about when you're going through temptations and trials. In verse number 12, he says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Then he goes on and talks about being tempted with in our flesh by things of this world. But there's many temptations to come besides fleshy temptations. One of the biggest temptations is to feed evil with evil. but we render good. We're ministers of love. And if we don't have something good to say, we're supposed to just shut up. Hello? There's enough evil that's going on in this world. Amen. And we don't need to, we as a body of Christ don't need to feed it. It gets fed enough. Amen. So he says also that in when we're facing in hindrances, in James chapter 5, verse number 9. The word of God says this. He says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. The judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and you have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Amen. So what the Lord is saying tonight for you and I, he's just said, remember Christ's house, whose house we are, that we belong to him, that we're his premises. This is his temple. We follow his terms and we follow his trail. We're to persevere by holding on to his promises, holding up one another, and holding to through the storm. And then we'll have firm to the end. We'll have the patience, even in the midst of hatred and hardships and hindrances. Our bodies have become God's premises. With his help within, we can maintain perseverance and with patience finish the course that is set before us. We're his premises. God's called us to persevere and to be patient. How many is waiting for something from the Lord? Be patient. Be patient. But don't give up. Don't give up. Keep pressing in. Amen. Keep proclaiming. Keep declaring his goodness over and his answers. In other words, learn to speak. If life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof, we need to learn to speak what we're looking for, not what we're looking not for. All right? Let's see. We need to speak what we're looking for, not speaking what we're looking not for. In other words, let's speak the positive we're looking for, not the negative. Amen? Can we all just stand? Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you sent your word to accomplish something in every heart and every life. Father, as the Spirit of God ministers to hearts and lives, you're talking about preparing our house or preparing our bodies, preparing our temple for you, Father God. And Lord Jesus, as the Holy Spirit ministers to each and every one of us in whatever area it is, Father God. Father, may we be submissive to your leading. May we repent and turn from whatever you reveal. And may we press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father, we recognize and declare that he who has begun a good work in each and every one of us is faithful to perform it, to bring it to fruition. So, Lord, I thank you that you'll meet each and every one of us right where we're at, but you'll love us so much that you will not leave us there, that you take us from glory to glory, even as by your Spirit. So, Lord, we praise you and give you glory for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and everything you're going to do, and we'll never cease to give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.